continue our series in James today. Yay?
Yay.
All right. And our text is in James 3, verses 13 through 18. James 3, verses 13 through 18. And what we're going to focus on today is wisdom. Wisdom. Beginning to read in James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray in Jesus' name that Lord, you watch over your word this morning in this place and perform it in each and every one of us, Lord God. I pray that as I bring this message, that Lord, you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less, and all of it that it would glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, James' comments in this chapter are directed to teachers predominantly. James is a teacher himself. He knows full well what he is talking about. His discussion here follows a warning on the tongue. We talked about that in earlier messages. Perhaps because a teacher is very vulnerable to such a temptation and can create a mounting effect on students for good or for evil. Here he reminds the teacher of their need for real wisdom, and introduces his discussion with a question. Who is wise among you? Think about that for a minute. Who do you look at and say, wow, that person's really wise? Think about that. Who in your life has impacted you because you perceived that they were a very wise person? Maybe it was a teacher. You know, when I was studying this, it made me think of a fifth grade teacher that I had that was just a really genuine person, and somebody that I could relate to, and it seemed everybody could relate to him. And he had a lot of wisdom. I mean, I still think he had a lot of wisdom back then. And having that teacher was on the heels of having a teacher in fourth grade that just about destroyed me. Okay? So, what do you think about? Maybe it's a boss. Maybe you've got a boss that you admire. They're full of true wisdom. But here's the question. What is the standard that we use to determine what true wisdom is? Well, it should be the Word of God. That's why we're in this message. It's why God included these verses in the Word of God. So the first thing we want to look at is false wisdom, because he addresses that, obviously, what false wisdom is, in the passage we just read. So let's first look at false wisdom so that we may stay clear of it. Verse 15 of our text describes the basic problem with such wisdom. It says this: it is not from above, that is, not from God. So a false wisdom isn't from above. It doesn't come from God. And it's a wisdom that people have that they may use to impress other people. But when it comes to the end of things, it really wasn't wisdom at all. We're seeing a lot of that today. There are a lot of people that don't use the Word of God for the standard of wisdom that are following all kinds of horrific things that oppose God. Okay? It's happening in the leadership of our nation. It's happening. Okay, one of the big ones that I thought about is how far off course our judicial system is in this country. Think about that for a minute. See, judges are supposed to be wise and be able to pass judgments that are wise according to the standard that we find in the Word of God. But instead, we see judges passing judgments out of their agendas, out of their pride, out of no lack, out of no consideration for God. So, as with all of our government, our judicial system needs an overhaul. We got a bunch of judges at every level in this country that need their walking papers. Okay? Can we agree on that?
Yes.
If we could have judges that would operate in the wisdom from above, the wisdom that comes from God, and not a false wisdom of this world, things would be a whole lot better. Criminals would be punished as they should be, and innocent people wouldn't be prosecuted. Okay? So, this wisdom that's not from above, it is created by the bitterness, jealousy, and selfishness in a person's heart. James says that this wisdom is earthly and is therefore marked by earthly principles. Now, it would only be expected that such an evil-oriented wisdom would have certain bad effects on that person. So it does. It comes forth with the evidences that we see in verse 14. Bitter envy and strife. We see bitter envy and strife in verse 14 mentioned. A lot of people pass judgments because they envy this person or this group. All right? We have to be very careful of that. Listen, myself, I'll tell on myself. If I really don't like somebody, it's easy to pass judgments on those things that I don't like. So I'll tell myself, okay? That's one of my struggles. I've told you guys for a long time, listen, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm not going to run out and do dope like I used to do before I was saved. I'm not going to run out and get drunk. Okay? I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. I left those patterns to sin. But guess what? Somebody does me wrong. Somebody does somebody in my family wrong. And they push all the right buttons in the right sequence. I could be a real jerk. I have that capacity within me to be a real jerk yet. If those buttons get pushed, is anybody with me, or are you going to leave me hanging? Thank you for not leaving me hanging here. That's just real, guys. These are the struggles that we have. It comes down to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love with eight attributes of love that come behind that. Okay? Love. So, it's why God said we're supposed to be loving. those attitudes, and maybe you too, when I cop those attitudes, I'm not feeling very warm and loving toward that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, this is not wisdom. Bitter envy and strife. The literal meaning of the Greek word for envy is zeal. That's interesting. Zeal is an emotion that may be either good or bad. Okay? Paul uses it in the former sense when he wrote that the Jews had a zeal for God. That's good. But not according to knowledge. That he said that if you're taking notes in Romans 10, verse 2. In this passage, however, it clearly has a bad connotation. Unholy zeal. It's a fierce desire to promote one's own opinions to the exclusion of the opinions of others. Oh, Lord have mercy. Can I preach a minute? We've got light and we've got dark, right? We've got left and we've got right. Right? The left in our nation is always preaching tolerance. Yes? Am I right on that?
Yes.
But I have never seen a people group that were more intolerant than the ones that are preaching tolerance to us. Never. Never seen anything like it. They're wise in their own eyes. See, I'm going somewhere with this, guys. I'm not just trying to get political. I'm exposing darkness from light, good from evil. Because that's what we're living in. There's becoming a greater and greater difference in left and right, in light and dark. And why would that shock us? Because we're living in the end times, however long that is. It's obvious. We can see it by the seasons that we're in. Jesus said, look at the seasons. You're not going to know the day or hour, but look at the seasons. Well, people operating in their own wisdom, in man's wisdom, can't even figure out what the difference is between a male and a female. They can't figure it out. You ask a woman, what's a woman? And they can't even answer the question. But if you ask them, they're the wisest people that ever walked the earth. That's a wisdom that don't come from God. Do you understand what James is talking about here? He's trying to make clear to us the difference between worldly wisdom, which comes from man and is spawned out of envy and strife and unhealthy zeal. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I hope we all have zeal for the things of God. Because, man, people tend to have a zeal for something. If it's not a zeal for God, it's going to be a zeal for something else. And we don't want the something else. Right?
Right,
yeah. I want to repeat that last sentence I read to you. It is a fierce desire to promote one's own opinions to the exclusion of the opinions of others. That's where we're at, guys. That's where we're at. There is some uncertainty as to the meaning of the Greek word translated strife. Perhaps something like selfish ambition best describes it. It is the notion of rivalry, a party spirit. It is the description of a person who loves to be in the know, that is, to be smart, but only so that he can confound others with his depth. There's pride that leads to a person wanting to manipulate others through what they know. We live in that world. There's always people trying. We live in a world full of manipulation. There's always people trying to manipulate us, to make us or fashion us into the people that they want us to be. Guess what? I do the best that I know how when I'm in this pulpit or I'm teaching a class, whatever the case, to not manipulate but entice people to follow after God through the Word of God. Okay? But there is also the other side of that, which is really bad. The world is trying to entice us away with Satan's help. Entice us away from the things of God, and literally away from God Himself. That's the world we're living in, guys. That's the battle that we are in. And it makes it so clear when we look at it this way how important it is that we strive to walk in God's wisdom, operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Now let's look at true wisdom. True wisdom offers us something better. In contrast to false wisdom, this kind is from above. It is first pure, fundamentally undefiled, free from the self-interest that characterizes false wisdom. James' descriptive words of this wisdom fall basically into three categories. First category: heavenly wisdom is peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Heavenly wisdom is peaceable and gentle. That does not mean that we just go along to get along. There's people that think that to be a Christian and be a peacemaker, that we do that. That we just give things up to get along. That's not the case. We must, as believers, stand for God's principles. So we don't, to make peace, give things up that are God-given convictions. Okay? So these words express qualities that are opposite to the jealousy and selfishness mentioned above. This wisdom manifests itself in attitudes and actions toward others. Listen, guys, another thing that the darkness, the left, has been preaching is to disagree is unloving. That is not true. That is a false wisdom. To disagree is not unloving. Many times, when you disagree and voice your opinion lovingly, okay, lovingly, seasoned with love, voice your opinion to a person that if they continue on that path, it's going to lead them to an eternity in hell, that it is a loving thing to disagree. Am I right? So So wisdom demands that we expose worldly wisdom. Okay? It demands that. Second, heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. There's the fruit. Earlier in James 2, verse 14, James taught that true faith clothes the naked and feeds the hungry. Remember? Maybe you remember when we did that part? Yeah. Here he adds that true wisdom concerns itself with practical things. It is a characteristic of God himself. Good fruit most likely refers to kind actions and helpful deeds promoted by compassion and mercy. Okay? So we see it here again. There's a theme, there are themes that go through the book of James, and doing good deeds out of love for God and love for other people, that's a good thing. And we, you know, we can't leave that. And wisdom requires us to do that according to God's principles. Third, true wisdom is without partiality and without hypocrisy. Whoops! It may in fact also mean without wavering or doubt. Without wavering or doubt. As alternate translations would suggest, without hypocrisy suggests that true wisdom is sincere, genuine, and unpretentious. True wisdom is sincere and genuine. When we are standing in the wisdom of God, standing for and standing on God's principles, we have no reason to apologize to anyone for that. As long as we are loving in the process. Am I making sense? Let me give you an example of an unloving way to share the truth. You walk up to a person. Hi. Hey, nice to meet you. Have you accepted Jesus? No. Well, you need to because you're going to hell. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That is an inappropriate, unloving way to share the truth. Was that statement true?
Yes.
Yes, if they're not walking with God, if they're not born again, and that doesn't change, they're going to go to hell. But it is not a loving thing to approach them in that way. Right? So it requires some wisdom. See, I understand that whole thing because, listen, I should have been locked up, man, when I got born again. Some of you heard me talk about that before, but there's a lot of newer people here that haven't, probably. Listen, when I got saved, I was so radically different overnight. It was, even looking back after over 40 years, and I look back, it still makes me shake my head. I mean, oh my gosh. I would just blurt things out. I didn't have no wisdom. I had a whole lot of the Holy Ghost and a whole lot of the Holy Ghost, but I didn't have no wisdom with it. My goodness, guys, 5 months after I got saved, the Lord led me to buy my shop and open King's Corner Auto Repair. Man, I'm a believer, and I'm fired up, and I'm in this business, and it's King's Corner Auto Repair for King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and by golly, everybody's going to hear it! Had my Christian radio station playing in the shop, and tracks to leave on their seat after I fixed their cars, and I had it all going on. Chased people up Main Street in my coveralls in the winter. You know Jesus? I was thinking about it. No, I was, man. Seriously. I loved Jesus, but I didn't have no wisdom. That took time. So I started corralling people and hauling them over to my spiritual father, Pastor Jim Machen Sr. And I probably drove that more poor man crazy because I was hauling people all the time over there, even if I had time up. And I'd haul people over there. And finally, Pastor Jim, he's such a loving man. He said, "Brother Wayne, I really appreciate your zeal. I really do. You can pray with these people to receive Jesus." I said, "Really? I didn't know. I was a new believer. Really? I can do that? I thought I had all of you." "No, you can do that." "Well, okay." Well, he unleashed a monster on the world. "I can do that?" And so I did. Started leading people to Jesus and praying for them. But then, as I kept meeting for quite some time, a couple of years probably, every week with him in a mentoring process to keep me growing in the Lord and help keep me straight. And I was complaining to him one time that people, you know, they prayed that prayer, but they weren't doing it right. Weren't living life right. And Pastor Jim, so full of love, he says, "Brother Wayne, I think one Wayne in the world's enough. You don't have to make people like you. You need to make them like Jesus." Huh? Isn't that wisdom? And it was loving. Are you getting something out of this? Because I'm trying hard to bring, you know, it's real, you know. It's real. So eventually I did get a lot more wisdom. And thank God he's used me to lead a lot of people to Jesus. And I hope a lot more before I leave this earth. I hope you're all born again, believers. Because there is no better life. So without hypocrisy suggests that true wisdom is sincere, genuine, and unpretentious. I want to look at some scriptures with you that talk about true wisdom. If you turn with me to Job 28:28. And it says, he said to the man, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding." I've been saying this for years. And what I've been saying has continually been getting worse. We are lacking in our culture a reverential fear for God. It's lacking. People have lost their reverential fear for God. And as a result, they've lost a reverential fear of His authority. And along with that, in our culture, there has been a loss of reverence for authorities in our culture. People no longer respect the offices that people filled. Now, albeit, Respect is something that you also need to glean by the life that you live. If you're a heretic, people aren't going to respect you. If you're bogus, people are not going to respect you. Isn't that right? We're living in a culture where there is a percentage of the people in this country that think we would be a lot better off without policemen. That's absolutely absurd. Am I telling the truth? It's absolutely absurd. We've got to have policemen to bring order. We got one sitting in here. Ben's back there. He's a policeman here in town now. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for police. But there's also a lack of respect for authority that includes a lack of respect for policemen. We need to get back to having a reverential fear of authorities. Okay, now I'm gonna jump on some toes. We should not have children in our culture that act like they do to the authority figures, their teachers.
Amen.
It should not happen, but it happens all the time. Total lack of respect. I can't believe I'm standing here talking about it because I had my own issues with that when I was a woman. Not anything like what I see today, though, to be honest with you. But yes, I did. To admit it, I'm telling myself again, I did. I had issues. But the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and without that, people tend to cast off all restraint. Because when there's no reverential fear for God, then there is no reverential fear for any other authorities as well. Is that a fair statement? So that's how we've gotten where we've gotten to. Next verse is Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7. And this verse says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get wisdom. Understanding. Wisdom brings understanding. I've said this before when I've preached on or taught on wisdom, but here it is again. True wisdom is the ability to correctly apply the information that we have. Information without wisdom to apply that information correctly usually leads to something less than the best. Wisdom is supreme, it says. In the book of wisdom, wisdom is supreme. In other words, wisdom is the pinnacle. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Wisdom is understanding. Understanding of things that you wouldn't understand. Next verse is Hosea 14, verse 9. Do a few sword drills here. Hosea 14, verse 9. Hosea 14, verse 9 says, "Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them." Let's pick this apart a minute here. The ways of the Lord are right. Humanity is rebellious at heart. Humanity, period, is rebellious at heart. It says in the Word of God, I don't want to take the time to turn there, but it says in the Word of God that when we know the right we should do and we don't do it, that is sin. Well, most of us know right from wrong. And then there's the, on top of the right from wrong, there is the standard for right and wrong, which is God's Word. Okay? So, when we know the right we should do, and we don't do it, it's sin. It's wisdom to know the right to do and do it. Listen, God's way is the best way. Here's the problem. Most people want the easier way. And God's way isn't always the easy way. Quite often, it's the hard way in the short term. But in the long term, it's better. Clearly. Right? But the devil and self tends to want to seek out the short-term answer. Oh, this is easier. We'll do it this way. And then in the long term, it comes crashing in all around us. Is this making sense? So it's wisdom to seek out God's answer from His Word to the issues that we're dealing with. And walk in His statutes. But people are rebellious. A few years ago, a guy brought somebody to church with him. Had been talking with him and did a good job, man. Got him to come to church with him. Somebody had never been in church. Well, I must have been preaching a pretty fiery message that day, because I found out afterwards the guy told this person that brought him to church, "I don't need to listen to that." Listen to what? Well, probably things like I'm preaching today. I don't remember what I was preaching at the time, but people that are rebellious do not want to be told they're doing anything wrong, because they won't accept the standard of the Word of God for the standard between right and wrong. Won't accept that. So then, walk in rebellion. And that's where we're at today. All kinds of people walking in rebellion. There's even people walking in constant rebellion that go to church every weekend. Rebellion goes to church. That's kind of not a very nice thought, is it? But it does. And all of us are guilty in some fashion, because let's face it, when it says that when we know the right to do and don't do it, that's sin, how many times have we knew what we were supposed to do and kind of exit stage right or stage left, whatever the situation. So if we are discerning and have wisdom, it calls us to walk in what we know is right according to God's statutes. Next one is Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. While you're turning there, you know, it doesn't do any of us a bit of good to come to church and hear a message and then leave and not apply it. If there is no application of the information, there will be no transformation. Somebody ought to write that down. That's pretty good. So, information plus application equals transformation. And might I add the word sanctification on the end of it. Now the verse. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. You know, for Sunday school, how many of you went to Sunday school when you were a kid? You sung the song in Sunday school about the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built his house on the rock. And yeah, well, that's where this come from. That's where that song came from, is from this passage. So it's wisdom to hear God's words and put it into practice, not just leave and say, oh, that was pretty good, but now I'm out in the world and I'm just going to get on with my life. See, that's too much of what's happening today. The world chokes out what is being sown into us. Because we're in church. Hour and a half. We've come on Wednesday night maybe 2.5 hours a week. How much of the rest of the time of our lives do we spend in the world and it's drawing us away from God? Because the world's going the wrong way. If you haven't figured this out yet, as born-again believers, we are a lot like salmon. We are swimming upstream, making our last swim. We are going against the current if we are truly born-again Christians. The world is going the wrong way, and we're swimming against the current. That's why it's so hard. Okay, one more. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 15. 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 through 15. Beginning to read in verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Scriptures make you wise for salvation. The Word saves. Do you hear me? The Word saves. Well, I thought Jesus saved us. Yes. He's the living Word. Capital W. The Word saves. The Word convicts us of sin, leads us to repentance, and then following through and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And again, in verse 14 here, we see it says, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. There is a difference between learning something and being convinced of it. People that went through the public school system, you had to things in that system that opposed the Word of God, namely evolution. I did too. I had to learn evolution. Part of what confused me was learning evolution and then going to Sunday school, and it was a whole different... And then asking the Sunday school teacher about it, and they couldn't tell me. Didn't have the answer for me. So, I was a kid that went, I don't know if I believe any of it. I learned evolution, but I wasn't really convinced of it. Am I making sense? So there's a difference between learning something and being convinced of it. See, before I was saved, I read the Bible sometimes when I was in Sunday school. And one other time that I can remember, I read Revelation. I wanted to see how it ended up. That's just the way I am. I wanted to see how it ended up. I read it. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. Couldn't make sense. I would imagine that. Somebody unsaved turning to Revelation to see what it had to say. Well, I want to see how it ends up. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. See, I read it, but I wasn't convinced of it. Once I got born again, since then, I've been convinced about Jesus. It's true. I've been convinced about the plan of salvation. I've been convinced that the Word of God is the Word of God. And it stands in authority over everything. Any other truth, the Word of God has authority over everything because it is the Word of God. I'm convinced of that. There's the difference. Are you convinced today? Or are you just operating out of information? See, people who are not convinced can be easily swayed from what they say they believe. I've been telling people all along, my goal is to try to help people know what they believe and why they believe it. Because if you know why you believe it, you're convinced. James affirms that this fruit is sown by them that make peace. Righteousness cannot be promoted in our lives or in others except as we are people of peace. People of peace are people who not only love peace, but promote it by every means within their power. Such people truly possess true wisdom. This prayer of St. Francis vividly depicts a man's desire for God's wisdom. Listen to this prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled, but to console. To be understood, but to understand. To be loved, as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we pardon, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That is powerful. That is absolutely powerful. In conclusion, true wisdom is proven by gentleness and openness and respect for others. James says in verse 13 that if people imagine that they are wise and understanding and want to be recognized as such, let them show out of a good conversation their works with meekness and wisdom. The true test of wisdom is not words, but works. Mere talk, no matter how fluent, clever, or orthodox does not of itself prove wisdom. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon we're speaking of, put it this way. A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as pounds and his words as pence. If his life and doctrine disagree, the onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching. Man, that's truth. That is absolute truth. Guys. Charles Spurgeon had some things together, didn't he? Guys, let's do everything we can to be people that walk in wisdom. And that don't mean we're anybody's doormat. Okay? It means we operate in love and God's wisdom. We stand for truth and proclaim truth every opportunity that comes. Lovingly. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just humble ourselves before you today and pray, Lord Jesus, that Lord, you will just fill us full of wisdom that comes from you. Lord, we reject the wisdom that this world has to offer, and we desire to walk in your wisdom. So as we leave here today, may we ponder these words, this message today, throughout the week and beyond, Lord God, so that, Lord, we will be your people that are usable by you and that help to further your kingdom as we look forward to your return, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thank you.